Okay, that's my 5 minutes. I'm happy to see a lot of smiles and people laughing, so that's a good sign. You're taking it interesting. All right, so let's talk a little bit about, maybe we should go back to this image.
Yeah.
And go back. Or even the real thing?
The real thing.
Ah, yes, maybe the real thing. Do you still have that? Yes. All right. So let's throw out some objects of interest. And what are the sort of key ones, the obvious ones? Sorry? An image? Slides. Slides for me is the most fundamental. And at the level of a slide, then, you can have images. Anything else?
Text.
And
videos.
Audios.
Background.
Background. Interesting. Say again?
Comments.
Comments. Yes.
Animations.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry.
Layout.
Now, layout is interesting. Okay. So that one's interesting. Let's hold that for a second.
Drawing.
A drawing. A drawing.
Like a hand drawing or?
Like a sketch, a hand sketch. So that could be two things. That could be a verb or a noun. We're looking for nouns. Okay? So the ability to be able to draw things is one thing, but it's not an object of interest. And the ability to lay things out is one thing, but a layout might be. This is why we're hesitating, okay?
So I don't know who mentioned layout. Where do you see the layout in the interface?
Slides has this feature of you can change the layout of a slide where if there's a title and a description, mm-hmm. you can change it to move the title here and description here, or the description becomes here, and there's multiple titles.
So like a template.
So it's,
right.
Yeah, template.
Mm-hmm. Slide
yeah.
template. So you can think of things like margins or the safe area, like, for example, the fact that I don't make this go all the way to the end is so that it doesn't fall off the end and so on. So yes, you can specify that. It's negative space, but you can turn that into an object of interest as well. So that's starting to get more subtle. Interesting kind of idea, okay?
So indeed, there is a menu called layout if you used mm-hmm. a template.
Right.
Just to mm-hmm. go back to this.
So there's other things like...
Well, but wait, not
yeah.
everybody is
okay, yeah.
stopped here.
What other ones have we not forgotten? What? Louder.
Page order.
Ah, now that's interesting.
So when we talk about objects, usually they end up being represented in the interface somewhere. And of all the things we talked about, until now, you know, when you want to create a new image or a new shape, I have menus here, and so these things are somewhere in the interface. I was asking about layout because layout is sort of a concept, but it is represented if you've used a template.
Right.
Now, for what was the
page numbers
for
page numbering.
Ordering?
Right.
Yes, here I can reorder things. And is the order an object per se? For example, can I say, well, order it, I don't know, randomly or order it differently? I don't see order as something I can manipulate directly, but I agree that it's something that the user may have in their head when they talk about slides. So it's an interesting situation where you think of a concept like this, or what we call them conceptual objects, rather. And if it's nowhere to be really seen in the interface, it should be turned into an actual object that the user could manipulate.
And again, this is this kind of analytical, critical thing, which is maybe you'd like to be able to treat numbering, like turn it into a noun, not a verb. The action of being able to renumber things is a nice feature. But the question is there a numbering that I can treat as an object? Interesting idea. doesn't happen to exist as far as I know. But for example, if you'd asked me about layout, I wouldn't have known what you know about that in this particular thing, although I do know about templates.
Although, you know, if you really want to look at it, here there's numbers.
True.
But I cannot do anything with them.
Right.
And so maybe, oh, I could click on it and write 6 instead of 5, and it would change the order.
Right. But what we're trying to get at is, from the user's perspective, what are the things that you want to manipulate in a system, right? And that's different from what are the actions that you want to perform on those.
But time and again, we'll run into things that are not clearly here or there, or is something really an object, or, well, introduce other concepts. And that's what makes
my weirdo
things interesting, right? If everything fell nicely in a box, it would be too easy. So it's good to have this kind of examples on the edge. So other objects.
Comments,
yes?
Groups of objects. Groups.
Oh, groups. Okay, when you group a set of shapes together to move them as a whole, yes?
Import and export options.
Import and export options, okay. Now, this is an interesting
one
as well.
That was one of those tricky ones, right?
Because, indeed, if I export here, share, is it share?
Download.
Or download.
For example, file is an object that I need, that has a particular format I might need. But is knowing that it's PDF or PowerPoint or something else, is that an object? An interesting.
Well, again, if it were an object, I don't know if these have options or if they just
pick one.
So, for example, if I want to download the PDF, oops, it's gone. So.
Well, it went into your downloads folder.
Yeah, of course. What I was expecting, because in some systems, when you export, you have a dialog box that says, you know, do you want it like this, like that? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why it didn't do it here, but PowerPoint, no, it doesn't. And so if you have options that you can set up, then usually there's no way to sort of turn them into sort of an object that you can reuse.
Right?
And so, again, that's the thing is, well, I often find myself when I export from other software having to re-click the same options for resolution or the type of layout or things like this. But I cannot sort of turn it into a setting that can then recall. And so it is, I think, a conceptual object. It's and it's not really turned into an object in the interface.
Right. Okay. So as you can see, there's really fundamental ones like slides and text and videos and stuff that we're used to thinking about as digital objects that we manipulate all the time. And then there are these more subtle ones where you have to kind of think about it and ask yourself questions like, do I want that to be an object in this system? Is it a thing that I want to have? Now, the next transition point...
Do we want... Were there other objects that you wanted to
ask
suggest?
About? Yeah, Anastasia.
Collaborators. Yes.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
So different
Google
people
Slides
in the system
is shareable, so I would have little
people
at the top there.
Right.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Would something like the Zoom level count?
That's an interesting. That's one of these tricky ones, right? It could be, like for example, regular Zoom level or small would be, but that's a setting. I don't know.
To me, yeah.
There's like a thing where you can enter a specific percentage, so is that enough to count as an object?
I don't think
so. One of the things I fight against with the students who've taken my undergrad class as well as the fundamentals here is to say a button is not a conceptual object. An interface element, a menu in itself, is not a conceptual object. I mean, of course, when you talk to someone, you say, oh, you have to go into menu X and select item Y. But to me, these are actions, and there are interface elements to trigger actions. Um, something that we call objects are more things that are corresponds to nouns in the domain of the application. Right. And the menu item is just, you know, a way to achieve something. Mm-hmm. Now, we'll talk in a minute or after the break about a principle called reification, where you can turn things into objects. But in interfaces, many things are not really seen as objects, but just like buttons.
So what we're trying to do, let's keep moving on so you can go for another
yes.
break. The next thing I want to say is that objects have to live somewhere. They have to be in the interface in some form. And once they have to live somewhere, you have to have a place, you have to have a notion for what that means. So we actually have this definition of something that we call a substrate. And the idea is that you have these objects of interest, and they live in this space that you define as a designer. And these spaces contain those objects of interest. They provide structure for those objects of interest. And they manage any constraints and dependencies that are there. So if we look at the next slide here, what we have here is what's called the light table view, right? So there's a structure, and it says it's going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, if we go back to the ordering thing that Danielle was talking about, you might say, I want to have an ordering that goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I might have a different way of naming the structure, in which case that would be an object of interest I could play with. But basically what we have here is there's a given structure. It's called the light table. And if we look back at the previous one, I'll just go back a little bit. Yeah, this one. That is also a representation of a list of slides. But it's very linear. It's not a two-dimensional one. It's a one-dimensional. So those are two substrates that allow you to deal with different objects of interest, in this case, at the level of slides. And they're related to each other. It's the same set of slides. They just show up differently, and the kinds of moves that you can operate on them are somewhat different, you know, because in a two-dimensional space you can do things you can't do in a one-dimensional space. We could argue that there should be more things you can do in that two-dimensional space, but that's another thing. So if we go forward again back to the substrates slide, you could
so
also
So here we could
do
imagine
this.
Another substrate where mm-hmm. instead of things being, you know, stuck to a grid, you could have them like
canvas.
On a free canvas where you sort of, you mm-hmm. know, when you put, you know, pages
like
of paper on the
example,
desk, and you sort of group them together and have a lot more freeform organization.
Right. Now, what are the other substrates here? Is there anything else that acts as a substrate, but at a different level of analysis? It's not really a trick question.
What about layers, like a background, then picture, and on the picture there would be a text for layering?
Yes. So if you're looking at how is a slide organized? So at the level of the slide, you can say there are different elements, like there's text in this one and some images that are here. And then there's also a structuring of it in terms of this may be on top of this. There's a kind of hidden underlying layering structure that happens to be in these kinds of things. So that's an example of the constraints that are available here. And we also have things like you might have, well, we'll get to it later with alignment and things like
yeah.
that. But there are different ways of, like, these are left justified because it's been pulled in from PowerPoint and messed up. It does it wrong. But anyway, things are all over the place. So the substrate.
So a slide is a substrate.
Yes.
But as we mentioned before, it's also an object of interest. So substrates are special objects of interest that contain other objects of interest. And if
right.
you think of, you know, many, all, if not all applications have this notion of a container. I mean, I was talking earlier about a chat application, a messaging application. You know, a conversation is a container of messages.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very common pattern to have things that contain other things. But when they contain these things, usually they enforce, or the user can define constraints among these objects. Like here, they are in a particular sequence. Or here, they are in a particular 2D grid. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to think of the substrate as such, and identify the constraints that are meaningless and which ones are enforced by the particular substrate. Here again, the light table is 2D. The list on the left in the other case is 1D. Mm-hmm. But which ones the user may add to this? Something that frustrates me in this light table is that usually in the slide presentation you have like sections, and here you know
it's just
all
one linear order.
I cannot force, for example, after slide 10 to say, well, go to the next line because you know 1 to 9 is really a block, and then another block, and when I want to rearrange, I want to see those blocks. So this is the kind of thing that these concepts should help elicit in terms of designs.
Do you see any other substrates here? So remember, a substrate is something that contains objects and offers some constraints about sort of how they're laid out, but also how you can interact with them. Are there any other ones in here? I see a hand. Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
Is the taskbar a substrate?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Which is, I think, where you were going to. Or no?
No.
Sorry, what
the taskbar, the toolbar?
Okay. I was going to say, like, maybe within a slide.
So that's the constrainty part of it, yes. And but the
I think what you're saying is that the text
the
text box itself,
sorry,
the text inside
the text
container
exactly.
is a substrate
also,
because
right.
it can be left aligned, right aligned.
So this
spacing.
Is a kind of jumping up to like these are kind of at the same level. This is a light table level and the toolbar or the taskbar.
And the toolbar is
both
a substrate.
Both substrates. They contain different kinds of things, right? You can't put a slide in the toolbar. You just can't. And I can't put a format thing, whatever that is, in here. It doesn't work, right? So these are places where certain types of objects live and their constraints on what can and can't be there and how it handles it. And that's at different levels of analysis. So we have the overall presentation. We have the collection of slides here. We have within an individual slide, a slide itself is containing these objects, and then within a text box, you have this stuff. So it's layered, right? But once you have this notion that you got these cool objects that users want to manipulate, and they got to live somewhere, and you're going to have some constraints on them, now you're kind of starting to build your system. So there's one thing that's okay.
I like the idea of the toolbar. Because you said, you cannot put a slide in the toolbar.
Why
not? If there is a slide template or a slide that you use a lot, instead of having to dig somewhere to find it, why couldn't you put it in the toolbar?
Right.
In fact, if you look at the Finder interface on the Mac, which is the file navigator, the window here, you don't see it. I have to get out of full screen mode, sorry. Mm-hmm. So here I have a window and it has a toolbar. I can actually right click and customize the toolbar so I can rearrange or decide what I want in the toolbar. Okay, that's all nice and good, but I can actually take a file and put it in the toolbar.
I did not know that.
I did it yesterday.
A folder or a file?
No, maybe it's a folder. Anyway, I'm betrayed by technology. why isn't it not working?
Maybe there's different places. Maybe you can.
Well, I certainly can put it on the sidebar here.
Yeah, that you can do.
And have something that is easily accessible. But there are things that are also possible in a toolbar.
But
so.
Try it in view,
I think this is too. I did it by accident yesterday. So this
maybe you have to shift click or something special.
Yeah.
Option click. Anyway, it doesn't really
okay,
matter.
Well,
but
my
the
bad.
Point is, you start asking these interesting, weird questions, right?
Right.
When
that's
you start
the point.
Thinking
is,
like this.
Is thinking outside like, the box.
What do people want to deal with? How do we organize it and make it available to them in these substrates? And then the next question is, how do they go about doing that? All right. Now, obviously, there are pull-down menus, and there's lots of endless pull-down menus, right? But there are more powerful ways of dealing with this. And I'm going to shift over to Michelle, because this is, you know, the idea that we, well, I can read it. Do instruments mediate digital interactions with the objects of interest? In other words, you can use tools to manipulate these objects of interest within these substrates, okay?
Yeah, and so, I mean, in the real world, we use tools all the time. You're using pens for writing, and we use, you know, knives and forks or chopsticks for eating, and a bunch of cooking instruments and drawing and et cetera. And so, in fact, some applications, if you use Photoshop or any of these kind of things, have tool palettes with things like brushes and erasers and things like this. And so the idea is that, you know, you often interact with those famous objects of interest through a tool that has specific capabilities. And if we look at an interface like this, well, you could say the things in the menus are tools, but they're very simple tools. They're like push button tools, right? And they're in menus because if they were all in toolbars, that would sort of clog up the screen. But if I look on the right here, when I've selected an image in the middle, I have things where I can control opacity, brightness, contrast, and these are more sort of gives you more control, right? Because I can adjust and I see what's happening in real time. And maybe I have a here sort of ways to resize or crop the image with these handles on the side. So you can
think of these as tools.
These are
really,
really
tiny little tools.
Tools. They're attached to the object, but they're really tools. If it were not there, you wouldn't be able to use it. And maybe someone was talking about doing hand drawing, for example. So I assume somewhere there is a pencil tool where you can draw shapes yourself. And so the notion of looking at once you have objects, figuring out what you want to do to them, with them, and then what would be the appropriate tools for achieving those effects.
Right.
And so once you have that, you can also think of tools themselves as objects of interest. And maybe you have tools to manipulate other tools. In my failed demo earlier, in the toolbar, I can reorganize the tools in the order I like. What I don't like in those toolbars is that they're, as far as I can tell, they're fixed.
Yeah.
And in fact, when you stretch or shrink them, they remove some tools randomly from the toolbar that become inaccessible, or you have to go through a menu. But they don't let me choose which one I want to use. And then the next question that comes is, well, can I create my own tools? Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that dive deeper into this.
Right. All right. So I think this is where we said we were going to take a break.
Yeah, we were going to break here.
Your brains are like, okay. So let's take a 15-minute break. Right now I have it at 10:35, so 45:50. So at 10 minutes to 4, let's about there, we will start again.
10 minutes to 11.
Excuse me, to 11. We will end at 12, so we're going to end at noon. Next week, we will start at 9:30, not 9, which should be a little bit easier for people to get in. That gives you a slightly shorter lunch time, but that's, I guess, okay. All right?